141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we once again shift from European football back to the domestic stuff. Rangers get their Europa League campaign up and running with a 2-0 win against Bromby. It's St Johnstone for Celtic tomorrow, but will Ange Postecoglou return to the Japanese recruitment market in January? And Scotland women's national team are in qualifying action against Hungary at Hampden. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, we've got St Mirren goalkeeper Jack Anick and Hugh Keevans.
Celtic and Rangers running on parallel lines in Europe during the week. 2-0 wins, 50,000 crowds for the pair of them. Now they've got to go their separate ways. Celtic's job tomorrow against St Johnstone is to cut the gap between themselves and Rangers to just 1 point, and then see if the man standing to my left-hand side can do them a favour at high noon on Sunday when Rangers go to Paisley. All I can say, Gordon, if this weekend is half as exciting as last weekend, we're in for a cracker from Paisley to Dingwall.
Yeah, your lot are on a good run, Jack, in a big game on Sunday. That's an understatement, I should say.
It's a good run, but you're coming up against Rangers, so it's going to be different to what we've been playing. But obviously a good run going in positive, so we'll see how it goes, but we're hoping to take something from the game.
And we're only looking to take a small amount of credit for this, but I think since the last time you were on, you've won 3 games in a row, you've been keeping clean sheets in there as well. Have you been battering down the door to get another slot on this show?
That's why I came back. That's the only reason I agreed.
Good stuff. Right, it was great to have Jack back with us any time, but especially ahead of such a big game at the weekend. So St Mirren fans, maybe even Rangers fans, or anyone else, I'm sure you'll have some interesting questions for him. And, well, Hugh is Hugh. He's here to take all your flack, all your stick, all your kind wishes on 01419511025. I mean, we're 9 games in, Jack, so you perhaps think the league table starts to take a little bit of shape, but you have to say it's been a brilliant league campaign so far, hasn't it? Across the board, from a sort of, you know, a neutral perspective, if you were to remove yourself from the club madness.
Yeah, I think you look at it and hearts coming up, you think, how are they going to do back in the Premier League? And they've started off brilliantly. And then you're looking around to see how it shapes. As obviously teams started off really poor, we didn't have the best of start, and then you win 3 in a row, and all of a sudden you're looking at the top 6 again. So it has been eventful so far. You thought our Rangers is going to run away with it straight away again. It's not been the case. So for the neutral, I think it's building up to be a brilliant end towards the season.
And of course, Hugh, we're never far away from European stuff. Rangers and Celtic with fairly similar weeks, both needing to win, both having gone into their games without a victory in the group stages so far, both at home with the pressure and the expectancy to win the game, and they both do it in relatively similar fashion. Someone will tell me they weren't different, they weren't similar at all, but you get where I'm going.
Yeah, as I say, parallel lines for me. Now they've got to do the hard part. Celtic go to Hungary and see if they can beat Ferencvaros there. I wasn't greatly taken by Ferencvaros. I thought they were ordinary. The game was uplifted by the pass from Jota to Furuhashi and the goal that resulted. I wasn't greatly impressed by Bromby either. Can Rangers go to Denmark and do the job there? That's what the pair of them will have to do to keep alive their hopes of finishing second place.
01419511025, that is the number you need to get in touch with Hugh Keevans and Jack Anick tonight. So don't hang about, let's hear from you. You can tweet as well, of course, at Clyde SSB, but we do like to speak to you on the phones ahead of a huge weekend of domestic action. We will of course kick off by looking back on last night's European exploit. So if you've got any thoughts, now is the time to do it. Steven Gerrard says his players answered critics with the win against Bromby and believes it was a near perfect performance under pressure.
Yeah, I thought we deserved the victory. I thought our performance and with the crowd behind us, I thought we were really strong tonight, both sides of the game, in and out of possession. I thought we played with a lot of control and style. And we could have maybe got another couple of goals. You know, Scott Arfield's unlucky there when he's at the bar. Both had a couple of chances. But all in all, I think the players deserve praise. It was a strong performance. We put that pressure on ourselves. I think if you don't get no points in the first 2 games, you've got 4 left and you need to try and get minimum around the 9-10 mark for sure. So it was a must win tonight. We accepted that in the pre-match build-up. A lot of questions get asked about me players under pressure in front of crowds. I thought they delivered a perfect performance tonight and answered a lot of critics from the outside. So good results, but still tons of work to do. Big results to get, and we have to, as I say, replicate that in 2 weeks' time. Because if we can get 6 points, it'll be interesting.
What did you make of it last night, Jack?
I thought it was a professional performance by Rangers, and I think he's covered it well. They could have probably went on and grabbed a couple more goals, but it was one of them games where if it had been a scrappy 1-0, they would have taken it just to get the points on the board. But I think they did do a professional job, and in Europe at home, I think that's all that you can ask.
Absolutely. Well, let's get some thoughts from you lot out there. 0141 951 1025. Ozzy is a Rangers fan to kick things off. What did you make of it last night, Ozzy?
Hi, Gordon. Hi, everyone. Hope you're doing okay.
Thank you.
I'm very pleased with the performance. I think it's a good continuation of the good performances that we saw in the second half against Hibs, and also for the majority of the Hearts game. I thought what was particularly pleasing was that when I looked at that starting lineup, and I'm sure a lot of Rangers fans were the same, I was a bit concerned that there wasn't much pace in that starting lineup, but what pleased me was that it wasn't apparent at all during the game, because the passing was so good, the movement was so good. So I think that was very pleasing. Possession-wise, we started to see, you know, what became a hallmark of Rangers under Steven Gerrard in Europe. We kept possession really well. We passed through Bourne B from defence to up front really well. There was a couple of slip-ups, obviously, where we gifted Bourne B some chances to score, but all in all, really pleased. I thought Joe Rebo was absolutely outstanding, a virtuoso performance from Joe. I'm usually not a fan of Rebo in midfield, because I feel he can be a little bit one-footed, and he usually is not great defensively, but last night he was a dynamo. He was winning all of his defensive duels, and he really was carrying the team at times. Lundstrom, again, he's just continuing his good performance. I don't believe he gave the ball away once last night. And, you know, we were concerned previously that he and Davis couldn't play together well, but last night they gelled quite well. And then I want to reserve a comment for Sakala. I was a bit disappointed to see some Rangers fans criticising his performance on Twitter last night. I thought his turn of pace was brilliant to see. And the first thought I had in my mind once I saw him, saw his performance, was he'd be ideal against Celtic, you know, getting in behind, given the open formation that they play. So the concern that I have, and a question that I want to pose to the panel, is the centre back situation. Obviously, you know, we've been asking a lot of Balogun this season at his age. I think he's 33. He's just come back from international duty, where he played two games, and now he's played two games in a week for Rangers after that. I think Steven Gerrard gave a press conference today. He said that Balogun isn't ruled out yet.
I'll tell you what, Ozzy, I'll play that clip so that we know exactly where we stand on that. You're right, it was obviously a question mark after limping off last night. Here's what he had to say on him, and Ryan Jack as well.
We'll give Leon every chance for the weekend. He's not ruled out just yet. He's still a doubt because he left the pitch. We'll assess him as the day goes along, and we'll try and get him recovered. I'd still say he's got an outside chance for the weekend, but we also have to analyse the risk. So we'll make a really late decision on that one, but it's probably 50-50 where we stand. The rest have come through fine, and it's also a big day for Ryan Jack, because he's back with the team for the first time today in 7 months. So that's a big plus for us. Hopefully he can push on now and push through. We can get some 11v11 work in his legs, and he can be back with the team in the next couple of weeks, hopefully.
So there we go, Ozzy. Just as you advertised, 50-50 on Leon Balogun. What are your thoughts on that then? A bit concerned about looking late in that area?
Yeah, I personally wouldn't risk Leon unless, you know, he's totally 100% to go. If I think hamstring ones are a dodgy one. I mean, look at Kent. The thing that concerns me is that Simpson seems to have been bombed out of the squad. As far as I know, he's not injured, but since that goal that he was partly responsible for that Motherwell goal. Since then, he's not been seen in any of the squads. And then obviously we saw Bassey come on last night, but you think back to last season, Bassey had a bit of a nightmare playing at left back at St Mirren in the cup. So I'm a bit concerned. I mean, if it's down to me, I'd throw Simpson in. We signed him, you know, to play as the left-sided centre-back as cover for Helander. But, yeah, interested to see what the panel thinks about that. I think also, I was saying to the producer, it's all hindsight, but I think the decision to loan out Katic is really foolhardy in hindsight. I think we could have done with him.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, with hindsight, you're not expecting that injury to Philippe Helander, but we are where we are. Jack, what about Ozzy's point about defenders? And I wonder, you know, as a goalkeeper, how much emphasis, how much comfort do you take from having the same two in front of you all the time, or do we make more of that from the outside than we should?
I think it is. It's better you build relationships. But I look at the quality that Rangers have got throughout the squad, and I kind of look at the defence, and you bring Tavernier out for Patterson, and kind of you've got the same quality come back in. But it is always nice to get a settled sort of back three, back four, and I think that's what we've started to do over the last few sort of wins, with getting a settled sort of team. So it is always nice, but I mean, the quality that they've got in backup, I mean, it isn't a problem, I don't think.
I suppose the way Ozzy is getting at you is this now is the one area, but it's not obvious. It's either Jack Simpson, who hasn't set Heather light yet, may well do in the future, or it's Calvin Bassey, who it looked like had been getting turned into a left back. I think he played centre back when he was younger. So those are the main options, neither of which are overly appealing to Ozzy at the moment. But that would be the only sort of downside from last night.
Yeah, I quite like Bassey, I must say. You know, Ozzy makes the point that he had a bad game against St Mirren last season, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you are therefore allergic to Paisley. You know, he can go to Paisley on Sunday and have a very good game against St Mirren.
Do you only like Calvin Bassey because he gave you one of your finest lines ever on the show?
No. I gave Bassey the line. Right, okay. I said that the minute he walked in the joint, you could tell he was a real big defender.
Honestly, any excuse to repeat it. He loves it. He's going to get it tattooed on him.
But as I say, I quite like the guy. I don't think he has seriously let Rangers down. That night when St Mirren put Rangers out of the cup, I tend to think that was Rangers' fault. You know, they equalised very late on.
Can you believe this guy taking the credit away from you and your teammates? No, in front of you.
At 2-2, with the greatest respect to Jack and all, and Jim Goodwin and everyone at St Mirren, at 2-2 you think, wow, Rangers have saved it right at the death there. They'll go on and take it. But all credit to St Mirren, because they came back right away and scored the goal. But as I say, Katic, we're all smart with the benefit of hindsight. You know, no one was talking about it until injury problems come along.
Yeah, I mean, I know some people, to be fair, just didn't want them to go. But yeah, I mean, the Hollander situation's clearly changed things. Thank you to Ozzy. We will bring in John as well, because I think maybe part of Ozzy's call is shared by you, John, and in particular a midfielder who stood out for you.
Evening panel, Hugh, Jack.
Hi. Hello.
Gordon. Well, I thank Jack to his contribution to Rangers when he was there, and wish him well for the rest of the season after Sunday.
Obviously. After Sunday, I was waiting for that one.
But so speaking to your producer, I just felt, I was at the game and thought Joe Aribo was immense. And I think Joe Aribo has been the standout player for Rangers this season, even when Rangers haven't been playing well. Even at the game, and I was at on Saturday, the first half against Hearts as well, and it's just been phenomenal. And what my worry is, come January, somebody's going to come in for a big bid, because if you just watch him all back and not losing the ball and turning defence into attack, the game, he was everywhere last night, and I was like, he was there, and I think we're a better team when he plays in the midfield, because he can attack, he can defend, and I feel as if that's his best position. Mm-hmm. I know sometimes you play him in the front three, but I feel we're a better team. We're moving forward when he's playing in that mid-three. Obviously, last night with Davis and Lundstrom. Obviously, Kamara was out last night, but I felt we were more pace in the team last night. And as I say, I'm worrying now that come January, somebody will come in for him, and it'll be 10 million plus easy.
I mean, Jack, you are allowed to respond by saying you hope Joe Aribo has a stinker on Sunday and then wish him well for the season thereafter. But is he one that's impressing at the moment?
I think he's one of the main ones. Obviously, good pedigree, came through League One with Charlton. I think he got the promotion before he just came up the Rangers, and then he's just kicked on from there. I think Lee Bowie at the time said it was a bad decision.
Yep.
And he's made him eat his words, hasn't he? Because I look at Joe Aribo and I could see him in most Premier League teams. I look at the boy Eze from Crystal Palace, and I think he's very, very similar. And I think it wouldn't surprise me if there was a big team in January, but Rangers are also a massive team to be able to hold on to players.
There's a new phenomenon going on in this programme with regard to Rangers fans. They're always desperately worried about something. If it's not Conor Goldson's contract, They're worried about Joe Aribo. Perhaps
it's a good worry though, isn't it? Because it only comes if he then, if he plays well between now and then.
You know, if you are at a club like Rangers or Celtic and you are playing exceptionally well, you are drawing attention to yourself. It is unavoidable. So there's no point in losing sleep over it. People will be interested in your players. But Rangers have shown a marked reluctance to get rid of anybody. You know my feelings on players that I think should have gone for the money. But you know, it's just a consequence of playing well at a big club in Scotland. You will get interest from bigger clubs elsewhere.
John, for what it's worth, it sounds like the manager is all too aware of that. Some interesting quotes from him, and forgive me, it was either last night or today, talking about Joe Aribo, and he encouraged him to play angrier, I think was the phrase, and try and, you know, provide that other side of the game. And he said that if he does do that, then he will be difficult to hang on to. Are you starting to see more of a complete all-round version of him? Because and by the way, there's a compliment to his teammates in this, but he was clearly behind. He didn't get the headlines the way some of his other teammates did last season, but I feel like he's getting spoken about more this time around.
I definitely, he's bringing what Gerard says, the aggression to his game, but without being overly aggressive, he's winning the ball cleanly. He's just, he's got these legs that just seem to go everywhere, and it's just watching him for the start. You can watch a game on TV, but see, if you watch a game for the start, you can see all the wee things, and it's just, even his link-up play with like Hadji and others, bringing him in, he's another one that last night I thought had an absolute brilliant game. The two of them had a brilliant game on Saturday, and I was actually baffled when the two of them went off on Saturday, but Gerrard's the manager, he's the one that picks the players and makes the decisions. But this season alone, Aribo has been our best player. But I mean, we have some players haven't stepped up. I'm not going to mention names, but Aribo's the one you can depend on. And I think he was injured for a wee bit last season, and he started his season last season well, and then he got injured. And I don't think, if he didn't get that injury, he would have been up there with the players of the season as well, because he was having a very, very good start to last season. But he's one of these players. We got him for relatively nothing, and if he does go my way, see, I don't mean I'm worried. I'm worried in a good way that we've got players that are sellable now. And we didn't sell anybody in the summer, but come January, we're going to be that way again. Your Hadjis, your Kents, your Aribos, there's going to always be interest in good players, because if you're playing well with a team that's winning, other teams are going to be looking at doing south or abroad. So that's just part and parcel of being a Rangers fan or a Celtic fan or just a team in Scotland. They're always going to move on to another team, not a better team, but i.e. there might be better players, but no bigger teams.
Thank you very much to John. It was nice to hear from you, John, in Cambus Lang, 01419511025. We'll take more of your calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
St Mirren goalkeeper Jack Anick is in the building. He's alongside Hugh Keevans, and they're both waiting to take your calls. 01419511025. Let's speak to Craig in Moodysburn and see what he has for us tonight. Hi, Craig.
Hi, guys. Hope you're all well.
Thank you.
I was just listening to the first couple of callers and agreed with pretty much everything they said. My main point was, I was delighted to hear Gerard saying that Ryan Jack's now back with the group, because I know it's a kind of cliche, but I think get Ryan Jack back in training, you know, ease him back, sub appearances over the Christmas period, etc., and January, you know, he could be a new signing. Because I heard fellow fans say, oh, we need a midfielder, need a couple of centre-halves in January. Ryan Jack's probably, in a lot of ways, what will be missing this season, because certainly defensively, he certainly controls the way we play. Particularly Tav on the right-hand side when he's bombing forward, Ryan Jack's exceptional covering those holes. My main point was, like I say, the guys that have been on before me talking about Joe Aribo. Joe Aribo, I thought, was fantastic last night, and he's actually on his game. That's what he can bring. He's an exceptional player. Somebody was saying they're not worried about him going in January. I would be more worried about Joe Aribo going than the likes of Barisic, etc. But I suppose that's another point for another time, because we probably do need to try and get a couple out the door in January. But I'd love us to keep Aribo for another another maybe 18 months if possible. I think he's developing at a very good rate. My main point was, I was saying to the producer, I would like us to see. And
do you know what, Craig? You've made some good points already, so let's deal with some of them, and we'll take the next one as well, because I know Jack, you know Ryan Jack well on and off the pitch. So to hear Stephen Gerrard say it was his first day back training in 7 months, I'd imagine that's a huge boost.
Oh, brilliant for him. I mean, knowing him as a character and how much he loves being out on the pitch, it's brilliant that he's back out there. And I do think it is going to be like a new signing for him, because I think he does complete that team. I think he's that good. I go back to the Premier League, you look at like the Fernandinhos, the Fabinhos, they kind of run them teams, and he is that kind of general in midfield that that Rangers could do with. And I think when he comes back, I think he's going to be a big part. And I think Craig makes a good point about when Tav goes forward and he drops in and stuff. I think he's going to be a big player for Rangers coming the end of the season.
Do you still speak to him much? Has he been chomping at the bit to get back involved?
I haven't spoken to him recently, but I've spoken a lot over the years since I've left, and I just know what type of character he is. He's got a good heart, and he'll have been beating himself up for being injured. That's what type of player he is. So no, I've got no doubt he'll be raring to get back and be back fully fit, because I think he's tried to come back and he's not been quite there. But yeah, I think as soon as he's back fully fit, he's going to be a big player for Rangers.
And was a regular in the Scotland squad as well, of course. So that will be one to watch going forward, albeit early days. What was the other point you had, Craig?
Yeah, sorry, I said kind of main point. It was just about the centre-half position. As Jack will probably know, being at Rangers, Gerrard's, quite ruthless when he makes up a mind. He's mind about a player. So I think nobody could have foreseen, obviously, Hollander getting that horrific injury. And Katic getting on loan to get football that he desperately needs. But we are short there. So, like I said, I don't like to throw about names, but something I was talking to, a couple of my mates at the game last night was John Souter at Hearts. I believe he's out of contract, probably Hearts fans before now and saying, oh, how dare you. But I'd like to, somebody like that, in January, because I think regardless of what happens with the title this season, there's a bit of a rebuild at Rangers in the summer, because the two goalkeepers, are getting on. There's quite a few players out of contract. I think getting somebody like Souter in, or even, Katic coming back and seeing what could happen there. But yeah, I mean, Ryan Jack really excites me. I think he had an operation in his back or something that delayed him a little bit. But yeah, I agree with everything that Jack said. He seems like a terrific character, and he could be the long-term Rangers captain, in my opinion.
Hugh, John Souter is out of contract in the summer. So as we all know, that means by January he can start really assessing his options.
Yeah.
Whether it's Rangers or someone, if he's fit, if he stays fully fit, he will have options, won't he?
I'm surprised that Hearts have let him get to
this. I think they're trying and they're hopeful, but
yeah, but they've left themselves in that position. The transfer window for Rangers in January will be fascinating. I heard Graeme Souness on this programme during the week talking about the line that Stephen Gerrard mentioned earlier, that no money had been spent in the last two transfer windows, and Stephen Gerrard clearly has an issue with that. He feels that money does have to be released, and one way of doing that is to offload players. There's nothing wrong, there's no downside to having lots of good players about the club, other than you can only pick 11. And how do you keep everyone happy? Do you eventually get to a stage where you're unsure what your best 11 is? So on and so forth. But if there is a need for a defender to come in, Souter would of course be what looks like a good fit.
Yeah, we'll try and avoid the headline that St Mirren goalkeeper tries to sell Hearts defender to Rangers, but he'll be one that will have impressed most people who watch him, Jack, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've got no doubt a lot of teams will be looking at him, not just Rangers. I'll guarantee that there's a lot more across Europe that'll be having a look at someone who's flying in the league, and especially playing week in, week out, good presence. And I think, yeah, he's a top player, and probably could be worth a good look at Rangers. But obviously with Katic being out on loan, and Rangers did cover themselves in that position, but you can't justify the injuries that they've had.
And Craig, before we let you go, I'm just amazed that we've made it this far into the show and no one's mentioned VAR. What's happening? We've all gone soft on the idea.
I know. It's. I think it was actually Hugh said a few weeks ago. He said if it was a VAR thing, an Old Firm game, everybody would be on Monday night going off their nut. But I don't know. Listen, I was at the game, I'll be honest. I thought he was offside, but obviously seeing the VAR and the stuff, he was, you know, apparently onside. So it's controversial. I don't personally like it because, you know, you're celebrating a goal and then you're waiting a few minutes to find out and then it's gone. And you're like, oh, it was a goal after all. But you never know.
I suppose the thing about that one, though, Hugh, it's actually not controversial because he's onside and VAR proves he's onside. What would be controversial if that goal had got, you know, wrongly ruled out?
Yeah.
I know it's taken us a while to get head around it, and I don't think Craig was alone. Everybody thought he was offside, but it wasn't.
Yeah, and that's what it's there for. The problem you have in our little planet Scotland is that if and when it comes in here, people will say, I don't care what VAR showed. He was offside. So there's no... objective judgment.
Well, I know what you're saying, right? Because we do live in a very bizarre footballing world. But there has to be. When it comes to offside, I mean, he was onside last night. So if people want to say that he wasn't on, they're lying. You know, however, where the subjectivity does come in, Stephen Gerrard wasn't happy. Jack, he was amazed that VAR looked at the challenge on Joe Rebo and didn't give a penalty. So that still exists.
Yeah, there's always going to be controversy if you get VAR, you don't get VAR, the referee's decisions. There's going to be controversy, but I love the passionate game when you score a goal, whether it's offside. I get that people want the right decisions, but I like being able to celebrate a goal and know that I'm not going to make myself look
silly. How many goals have you scored?
Have I?
Yeah,
nah, maybe one.
One assist last weekend, so I'll take that for the season.
Oh, you're not including the defensive mistake then? It's all down to your assist.
I can't take the credit. Come on, Craig. Thank you. 01419511025 on the phones. You were at the game on Tuesday. You went.
I was.
You had your vaccine passport. You were all set. You were good to go. You got in.
I did.
They didn't turn you away. And were you impressed with Celtic's performance when you got there?
I thought they were okay first half. And then second half they came alive. And in Jota, they have a player now. How can they not pay the money for Jota if he continues to show the form that he has been showing? And in Furuhashi, they have a wonderful natural taker of chances. It was incredible that David Turnbull should go from the magnificent goal he scored at the weekend to this fresh air swipe that ended up going in off him or a defender or the goalkeeper or somebody. But again, like Rangers last night, you know, both teams in the context of their Europa League groups were looking for an uplifting performance, and I think the Celtic fans got it, and the Rangers fans obviously got it last night.
Celtic fans, this is a good time to join in. 01419511025. Tuesday's moving a bit further into the rearview mirror, but you can look ahead and some interesting stuff from your manager today as well. Ange Postecoglou doing his press conference. He says character and personality will be high on the list of key attributes in what he hopes will be a more leisurely recruitment drive in January. He wouldn't confirm nor deny his interest in Dezen Mida, who he did work with at his previous club in Yokohama, but he did explain what he's looking for.
You know, whatever business we do in January, you know, I know won't be as sort of chaotic as it was in the last window. But you're right. I mean, for me, that's a hugely important part of bringing players here is, you know, getting to understand their mentality and whether they can cope. I mean, I was confident with, say, somebody like Kyogo because I kind of knew him really well from Japanese football. I knew his background and I asked enough people about him as a personality to know that he would cope well here. You know, he wasn't like he was 21, he was 26, even though, you know, he hadn't had a lot of exposure to sort of senior football. So that is part of the process, and particularly, you know, when you're talking about bringing people in January, where again, they're going to have to hit the ground running. You know, they're the things that we'll be looking into, not just their playing abilities, but also their, you know, the personality. And a big part of it will be the ones who really want to come here.
He has earned the trust of, well, Celtic don't have a head of recruitment, Hugh, but if they had one, and the fans, he's earned the trust of them to dip into that Japanese market again. Yeah. Because Kyogo's work doesn't mean every other one will work. Uh-huh. But it certainly strengthens your hand if you can say, look at this guy, and there are more out there. Like, he wouldn't be drawn on Dezen Mida, but clearly a lot of speculation about that one.
Well, as you rightly say, the transfer of Kyogo to Celtic could only have been at Ange Postecoglou's insistence, because none of us had ever heard of him, and he had that knowledge from the days at Yokohama. So yes, of course, his judgment will be trusted. I think Celtic, if they beat St Johnstone tomorrow, they move to within 1 point of Rangers. Psychologically, that's terrific, because when Ange Postecoglou came in, they immediately lost to Midtjylland in the Champions League qualifiers. They immediately lost the first league game to Hearts at Tynecastle. But since then, he has shown tremendous fortitude, kept his head, and has Celtic playing in a way that when they are on their game, they are terrific to watch. Again, in the second half, when they were two up, they have these incredible lapses at the back. I know that he's come out today and publicly supported Carl Starfelt, but he is still prone to the occasional error, and he needed Joe Hart and Anthony Ralston to get him out of it on Tuesday.
I mean, Jack, football changes so quickly, and particularly up here. The last time you were on here, it was probably a couple of weeks ago, and probably in the midst of everyone saying, look at the run Celtic are on, and look at what they've got coming up, and this could be, you know, really defining, and things could go terribly wrong. And all of a sudden, go to Pittodrie, win, go to Fir Park, win, beat Ferencvaros, and things look very different in the space of a few weeks.
Yeah, that's football for you. It changes so quickly, and then now all of a sudden, as you say, it's win one more game, it's we're 1 point behind Rangers. So within the space of a couple of weeks, people are talking, is he the right man for the job? All of a sudden he wins two league games, European, and now it's, can we win the league title now? So that's the football business, and no, they've obviously getting a little bit of a run together, and I think the clean sheet will have helped. So yeah, they've obviously still making a few little mistakes and that, but I think they'll get a bit of confidence out of the clean sheet.
And you look, there are a few people who seem to be continually ticking boxes, don't they, for someone like Jota, who Hugh mentions, to arrive and just settle in so quickly and be so productive in games early on. That's exactly what you want when you recruit a player, isn't it?
Yeah, I think as soon as you sign a player of that quality, you want him to hit the ground running, and I think that's exactly what he's done. And yeah, he's been a breath of fresh air for them. I mean, he's passed the other days. It's outrageous. Kevin De Bruyne does it. You watch it on replay over and over again. So it's just, I think they're probably looking at a bit more of a bulkier squad. I think you look at Rangers' squad, and if you take Morelos out, Sakala can come in, and Patterson for Tavernier. I don't think Celtic have got as many quality options, so maybe that's what they're looking for
with,
in January.
With Jota, he clearly loves being here. He clearly loves being with the club he has joined. The supporters have a terrific rapport with him. As I say, if he maintains the form that he has shown, the goals, the assists, Celtic have no option. The fans will demand that the money is paid.
Okay, 01419511025. Celtic fans, seems like a good time to get your thoughts on the other night, maybe recruitment in January, looking ahead to the visit of St Johnstone, or anything else you think we've missed. Now's the perfect time to share them, and we'll try and speak to you next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jack Anick are here taking your calls ahead of a huge weekend of Scottish football. You look at the top flight fixtures tomorrow: Aberdeen, Hibs, Dundee United, Motherwell, Hearts, Dundee, Ross County, Livy, and of course Celtic, St Johnstone. As Jack knows all too well, St Mirren welcoming Rangers on Sunday. So lots to look forward to. Let's hear a bit more from Ange Postecoglou, shall we? Celtic fans, good time for you to get involved in the discussion. He will welcome back Josip Juranovic and James McCarthy for tomorrow's game, and he's also encouraged by the progress of Chris Julian and James Forrest.
He's had a really disruptive from pre-season onwards. You know, he's had some issues, and it's been really challenging for him. It's always hard when players are kind of in that rehab mode and they have to do it on their own. But the medical team and the rehab staff, the sports science staff, are working really hard with him and made really good progress this sort of particularly last sort of 10 days. So Without sort of putting too many specific targets in is on him, our hope is that he'll train with the team on Monday, which will be a major step forward for him because he hasn't been able to train with the group for quite a while. So if we get him into training with the group Monday, then it'll just be a case of seeing, you know, when he's ready to play. But I think it's kind of the most promising news we've had on him for quite a while. Chris is similar. He's been training with us now since the international break. So what's that, 10 days and going well. But you know, he's a little bit different. He's coming back from a long-term injury. So with him, it's about now getting him to train with the team and getting him to feel good about himself and confident.
Let's bring in John Paul, who is on the phone. John Paul, I'd imagine those fitness updates will be good news for you.
Yeah, evening, Gob and Jack here. They are. You know, I've got a point I'd like to put to the panel and see what they think, you know, and I think I've been on a few times before, and you know, I'm a fan of Ange Postecoglou. You know, he's came in and he's had to deal with a lot of stuff. You know, he's not got his own backroom team and he's had to jiggle and jive, you know. And, you know, for me going forward for Celtic, you know, I think the most important thing, obviously winning tomorrow, getting 3 points and putting a bit of pressure on Rangers is absolutely imperative. But I think going forward for me, Celtic now need to show that they can go and win games, you know. They can, you know, I was watching a game against Aberdeen, and if any Celtic fan is honest, you know, like many others, I didn't think we were going to win that game. I really, really didn't. I seen a different side to Celtic where they went and won the game. You know, they showed a bit of character, and I know the manager spoke about that. But for me, I think the next couple of weeks and couple of months is absolutely massive. You know, they need to show that they can go away to Hibs on a Wednesday night and win. They need to show they can go away to Dundee and win. Places that have been tough for us recently, places that have been tough for the likes of Rangers and other teams to go to. You know, I think, you know, I was listening to the updates here, you know, and you have your Arnovich come back in, you know, you have Scales who came in who looked solid. Then all of a sudden, if you get to Christmas time, neck and neck with the likes of Rangers and Hibs, you know, then you have Julian maybe back a couple of games, you know, it's not looking so bad, you know, and I think Celtic are so good going forward, but on the other flip side, you need to be honest and say we're so vulnerable defensively, you know, and I think that is massive. You know, I think Scott Brown leaving, getting to the end of his career, leaving the club, not having that defensive midfielder, you know, it's, they play Turnbull and Rogic and the two of them like to attack, you know, McGregor, he's a good player, but is he the Scott Brown that we need? You know, I think the next couple of months is absolutely massive for Celtic to show and go on a winning streak. Win 7 or 8 or 9 games in a row, you know, do it on the bounce to put it to other teams that, no, we're not here to be just run over, and we're here to the end of the season.
Is that why tomorrow, Hugh? Because, again, if everyone's being honest, when Celtic had that spell, I'm not sure people would have predicted that they would go to Pittodrie and Fir Park and win them both.
No.
So, with no disrespect whatsoever to St Johnstone, who were everyone's second favourite team, I keep calling them, an unbelievable season. If you go on the road and win those two games, it follows that a home game thereafter is one that you would be looking to bank the 3 points and build that run that John Paul's talking about.
I see it in terms of a sequence, Gordon. I think that Callum Davidson and the St Johnstone players have done enough to demand everyone's respect. They have the League Cup and they have the Scottish Cup at McDermott Park. They deserve respect. And I mean, when they play you at home or away. So first of all, as John Paul said, the priority for Celtic tomorrow is not to slip up when there's a chance to move to within 1 point of Rangers. What will be on Sunday in Paisley. Easter Road, Hibs, I know they've faltered recently, but if Celtic go to Easter Road and win, for John Paul and the other fans, it's a massive psychological step. Because it shows 3 away wins on the bounce. It shows a dependability that wasn't there before. So I see it in terms of a 2-game sequence over 4 days that will tell us if the Celtic revival is genuine or not.
Yeah, I mean, Jack, St Johnstone lost 3-0 at home to Livingston last week, but still, have they earned the right to not be written off? I think you'd have to be pretty brave to write off St Johnstone, wouldn't you?
I think that was one of the biggest shock results of the season. I didn't see it coming myself, and as soon as I clicked it on, I was thinking, how are they being beat there? Because this St Johnstone team, the way Callum Davidson's got them so well drilled, the player formation that's hard to play against, that they're hard to break down, so they've got the respect of what they've done last season. Not just a one-off lucky, or they've won a couple of games, getting to a final and nicked it with a set piece. They've won two cups, and you have to be a good team to win two cups in this division. So they'll demand respect, but I think Celtic are needing one big win to really kick them on now.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, John Paul, you mentioned that there are still moments at the back that, that make you a bit nervous, and maybe your fellow Celtic fans would share that. Having said that, to come away with a European clean sheet, which is a bit of a rarity, to do that, even although there might have been moments within it, can that not perhaps provide a bit of belief and confidence in that area, and maybe improve things going forward?
Of course, you know, of course, you know, we Celtic last season were so used to watching a game, you know, with your fingers in front of your eyes. You know, I think bringing in Joe Hart has been massive. You know, he's made saves alone this season that our keepers before hadn't been able to make. So that alone gives defenders in front of you, it gives the players in front of you that you've got a wee bit of stability in goals. You know, your keeper's going to pop up with a big save when needed, you know. And I do feel sorry for the young boy Montgomery. Not feel sorry for him, because I think he's came in and done well. But I think the way Ange plays and the way that Montgomery goes forward, you know, Celtic are exposed a wee bit at the back. You know, we all know they like to play Rogic, Turnbull, who are the great attacking runners. And when teams break, you know, I've been at a few games this season where Dundee United, they sat in for the first 20 minutes and they started winning their individual battles, and then they actually posed their game on us, you know. And Celtic can try to play the one way and they get caught up the park with their two wingers and two defenders, and then all of a sudden Starfelt, Carter Vickers, the defenders are out of position, they're on the back foot and they look vulnerable, you know. That's the most important part that we need to sort, but I can see their progress, you know, and I think it will take a wee while as well.
Got you on your specialist subject, Jack, goalkeepers. What have you made of Joe Hart's impact? Because you'll have known all about him, I'm sure, before he even came to Celtic.
Yeah, I think it was a brilliant move for him and for Celtic, getting a bit of experience in behind them. And he has made some massive saves when called upon, and I think he's made a huge difference to that team. But I think John Paul does make a lot of good points, but it's going back to one of them. If you want to be an attacking team, you've got to be open to saying we're going to concede some sloppy goals at times, or you can be a defensive team and say we're drawing 0-0 every week. So I think there's obviously getting the balance, but knowing that they can rely on Joe Hart, who's a world-class goalkeeper, looks like he's getting back to his best form, is brilliant for Celtic, brilliant for him.
I think just a quick mention of Anthony Ralston before we go into the break. I thought that defensively, both at Motherwell and against Ferencvaros, he was composed. You know, I know that people are astounded when they see him inside the centre circle at times and thinking, why is the fullback up there? But defensively speaking,
that one tackle in particular was quite something, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I always go back to the point that you know, Anthony Ralston was in the team against the better judgment of many supporters, but he continues to deserve holding on to his place.
And now Juranovic is back, so you know, we'll watch with interest to see how that pans out.
Exactly. You've got a Nathan Patterson Tavernier situation here.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Shambolic performance from Mark Wilson on last night's Beat the Pundit. I mean, it doesn't help when DL's over in the corner jumping about like a jack in the box, trying to put him off. However, it was another victory for the listeners. Let's see if we can end the week with another. 0141 951 1025. If you want to play Beat the Pundit, you need to call now and before 7 o'clock. So be quick.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jack Anik are here. 0141 951 1025. We kicked off hearing from Stephen Gerrard talking about last night's victory against Bromby. He's got injury updates. He's going to talk Conor Goldson as well. Ange Postecoglou keeping his cards close to his chest about going back to the Japanese market in January. So if there's anything you want to add on those topics, now's a good time to call. 01419511025. And there's plenty of time for other stuff to come up between now and 8 o'clock as well. So make sure you pick up the phone, and we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Big game for the Scotland women's national team at Hampden. We're going to try and speak to our reporter Andrew McLean, who's watching that one as well. But let's bring in Ross in Pollock first, who wants to play Beat the Pundit. How's it going, Ross?
Yeah, I'm all good. Hope you're all well, guys.
Have you ever played before?
you know, Gordon, I've never ever played. I know I've been on the show a few times, but I've never actually played Beat the Pundit. So
Now's as good a time as any.
I'm not sure how this is going to pan out. This is either going to go really well or really badly.
Neither are you and Jack. So we'll see how it goes. Heads, it will be Hugh Keevans who plays. Tails, it will be Jack Anik. And it's heads. He's off the hook again. It's Hugh Keevans up against Ross in Pollock. Let's give Hugh some Clyde 2 to listen to, just so that he doesn't steal your answers. Ross, you know the drill, I'm sure. You've listened for many years, but it's 30 seconds. Answer as many questions right as you can, and if you do not know, you just pass and move on to the next one, okay? Right, good man. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. What nationality is Victor Wanyama?
Kenyan.
Mark Ogren is the owner of which Premiership team in Scotland?
Livingston.
Who replaced Dick Advocaat as manager of Rangers in 2001?
Walt Smith.
How many Scottish players have made an appearance for Norwich this season?
Four.
Who signed Nacho Novo for Dundee in 2002?
Jim Duffy.
From which team did Rangers sign Jack Simpson?
Okay.
Let's bring back Hugh Keevans. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
Good. 30 seconds on the clock. Same set of questions to you, and your time starts now. What nationality is Victor Wanyama?
Nigerian.
Mark Ogren is the owner of which Scottish Premiership team?
Dundee United.
Who replaced Dick Advocaat as manager of Rangers in 2001?
Pass.
How many Scottish players have made an appearance for Norwich this season?
Two.
Who signed Nacho Novo for Dundee in 2002?
Jim Duffy.
From which team did Rangers sign Jack Simpson?
Pass.
And which sports brand are Celtic's current kit manufacturer?
Which sports brand?
You know, which sports make is the current manufacturer of Celtic's kits? Quickly.
No.
Oh, come on. Just guess one. Anyway.
That's a stupid question. Which sports brand?
You don't get to decide if it's a stupid question. Just because you don't ever wear sports brands, to everyone else it's easy. Ross, how do you think it went?
I don't want to be overconfident, but I think I tipped him.
We checked the table last night, Ross, and to be honest, he's nearly getting relegated, and you've got the chance to push him down a bit further.
I'm wrong with the very first one, because Victor Wanyama was a Kenyan.
He was Kenyan, yeah. And Ross got it, so Ross goes 1-0 in front. Mark Ogren is the owner, though, of Dundee United, so you've equalised straight away. Dick Advocaat was replaced by Alex McLeish. I think the pressure got to you there. How many Scots have made an appearance for Norwich this season? Would you give a guess at that one, Jack?
It's three.
You were both wrong. Hanley, Gilmore and McLean. Who signed Nacho Novo for Dundee in 2002? Jim Duffy. You both got it. So are we still level? Yeah, I think we are. From which team did Rangers sign Jack Simpson? You said
Paris.
And Ross said Bournemouth, and he got it. So you had the chance to equalise, because Ross ran out of questions. Which sports brand are Celtic's current kit manufacturer? Have you ever heard of any sports brand? One with three stripes, perhaps?
Adidas.
Yes, Adidas. Honestly, I mean, that's not an Adidas cardigan that you're wearing, so I'll let you off with that one. And Ross, you've done it. You've beat him, and you've pushed him further to relegation, and won a signed ball in the process. Well done.
Good game here. Good
well
game.
Done, Ross.
Good man. There we go. Polite as well.
We'll need to introduce an age gap.
You must have heard of Adidas. You've not noticed the three stripes that run down the side of the strip.
That sort of thing. Pay attention.
But you know, that's so true, because seeing, just knowing you as I do, we spend an inordinate amount of time together. That's such an easy question, but I bet you have never noticed that or never thought about it. It's just not the way you operate. And that's fine. That's not a criticism. It's just just the way it is.
Every now and then, when they turn their back, I'm trying to memorise all their squad numbers
in case that comes up.
Yeah.
Who's St Mirren's kit manufacturer?
Joma.
You remember that one? Nah, I could ask you that tomorrow and you'll have forgotten that.
Correct.
There we go. Right, 01419511025. We are going to try and go to Hampden very soon and speak to Andrew McLean. But before we do that, have we got Craig? He seems to be coming and going on the line here. I don't know what's happening. Somebody, oh, he's gone. He's disappeared. No Craig. Right, we'll try and get him back as well. How are you guys feeling ahead of this game on Sunday then, Jack? Because we spoke about things changing very quickly. Three wins on the bounce for a team like St Mirren must make a world of a difference to confidence and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I think we said it's the first time since 2008 it might have been. So it gives us confidence going into the game. Obviously, three big wins and all of a sudden the league changes. And yeah. I think looking at the fixtures there, they're pretty decent for us because a win either way, we can either get close at the ones mm-hmm. above or we can't be caught by the ones below. So it's a good game to go into, and these are why in football to play these massive games, whether it's Rangers, Celtic, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be an exciting, and I think the atmosphere is going to be pretty spicy.
Although I'm going to contradict my own question here, because maybe for us on the outside, we frame that as if because you haven't won, confidence is all of a sudden at rock bottom, but then you go and win three. But I guess for you guys, you're probably a bit more focused on the process, which is a bit of a buzzword, and you know, and the way you do things. And then when the wins do come, you'll just feel that that's you getting the rewards for what you've been doing previously.
I know we spoke about that because we've probably played better when we've been losing this season, which is, I mean, football fans say, how can that be possible? But we've won three games and we've actually said we haven't hit our best. So you just hope that on Sunday you can't predict the outcome, but mm-hmm. you turn up and you give your best. And if we can perform that, we know mm-hmm. that we can, then I'm confident that we can get something out of the game. Obviously, I think a point for Simmering at home to Rangers, everyone would say, would be a massive, massive result. Mm-hmm. So we'll be going to try and win the game, make no mistake.
Yeah, well, not many teams at the moment domestically know exactly what it takes to beat this Rangers side, and you were of course one of the teams to do it last season. So what does it take?
It's a tough question. You put us on the spot. But last season it was a crazy game, because as Hugh said, it went back to 2-2, and he thought Rangers would have kicked on. And I was kind of thinking myself, I think it would have went extra time if I'm right. And I was thinking extra time, let's get through it, maybe take them into penalties and potluck and you go and
fancy yourself.
Yeah. So, but it's one of them, you know, you can beat them. So, having that in the back of your head from last season can help. But as you say, you can look on the other side and you can think, oh, we can beat these, and then you go and get turned over. So it's an exciting game for everyone to be involved in, and a few players will be... I'll be on one side of Glasgow and a few will be on the other, but make no mistake about it, everyone will be up for it.
I'll be honest to you, doing this job generally, you're across all the big moments in Scottish football, the memorable moments in the season. My daughter was about 18 hours old when St Mirren beat Rangers, so I was all over the place and have very, very little recollection of it, but I'm sure Jack enjoyed it. Let's bring in Craig in East Kilbride, who's a Dundee United fan. What's your point tonight, Craig?
Hi, panel. It's just directly to you all.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm finding is I've been listening to your programme for weeks,
mm-hmm.
and I'm finding that you've not mentioned Tam Courts in any shape or form. If that was a Rangers manager or a Celtic manager, you'd be having kittens. This guy.
First of all, you're wrong.
Let Craig carry on. On you go, Craig.
Right. I've had opt-in results. It still comes down to the fact that Rangers lost, or Celtic didn't play well, or Dundee United were just got a flicky goal in the day. Rangers hadn't beaten, apart from the COVID season, hadn't beaten Dundee United at Tannadice in 10 years. They haven't won a Scottish Cup tie in 30 odd years. Now, my point is, he's constantly going about Rangers and Celtic and forget about the other teams. These teams have managers, these teams have players. These teams, I've even heard your phone in your quiz.
Mm-hmm.
And half of you can't even answer first division players in the Scottish division.
Did you miss Hugh Keevans correctly identifying that Mark Ogren is the owner of Dundee United not but 10 minutes ago, Craig? How unfair
it's
of you.
It's Oregon. It's not Oregon, it's Oregon.
Oh, right, my pronunciation's not great. Okay, I'm sorry. Right, look, Craig, we've two options here. I can bore everyone to tears explaining the supply and demand nature of the fact that we're in Glasgow, so Rangers and Celtic get spoken about more than Dundee United. Or you can use the fact that you're on the show to tell us all about Dundee United, and we'll talk about it and give them the time that they deserve. Which option will we go for?
Well, we'll go for the option of the fact that this manager's come in. He's come in to junior level.
Mm-hmm.
He's now stepped up after that Mickey Merlin. He's got the team playing. He's actually got his playing fast, bringing in players that are fast, bringing it back a bit. Unfortunately, getting to the games, you get the chance to watch them, and they're coming on leaps and bounds.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, I'm not trying to have a dig. I'm just being honest. I don't know how. All I hear is Celtic Rangers.
Well, let's talk about Dundee United, Craig. I don't mean to be rude about it, but if you want to hear more about Dundee United, it feels a bit daft to spend this call talking about times you don't hear about Dundee United. So let's give Craig what he wants. How good are Dundee United this season, Hugh? Very, I would imagine, is your answer.
I have lost count of the number of times I've said in this programme.
No, but you don't need to defend all this, because this is daft. This really is. No, but let's talk Dundee United and how well they're doing.
In order to top Dundee United, I have to repeat what I said, that if you can, over the first quarter of the season, look back on a win over Rangers, a draw over Celtic at Celtic Park that might have been better had you been awarded the penalty you were due, to win the first Tayside derby of the season, to then go to Easter Road and have arguably the performance of the season by winning 3-0 there, then your first quarter of the season is a thing of beauty. And Tam Courts has done all that for Dundee United. And I mentioned it last Monday night after the win over Hibs at Easter Road, that the unity that these players have, each Dundee United goal was greeted as if it had won the Scottish Cup. Each goal was greeted by the fans at Easter Road as if it had been the best they had ever seen. There was a tremendous togetherness on and off the park, and there's no point in denying that people were sceptical when Tam Courts was appointed, because he simply didn't have the background that people were looking for. He's 40 years old, relatively young, to be handed a job of that type in the Premiership. And everything that has happened to Dundee United, the signings have been first class. Charlie Mulgrew has been inspirational at the back. So everything about Dundee United in the first quarter of the season has been superb. They're at home to Motherwell this weekend. Motherwell are not the worst side you'll ever see, and will put Dundee United under some pressure. But if Dundee United win that one, they're hanging in there at the top three level of our league, and there is no downside to that.
Are they taking the league by surprise? Is that fair, Jack? You just look at, I mean, obviously with Rangers, Celtic, Hearts, Hibs, Aberdeen comes the expectation. But Dundee United to be sitting in third after nine games, I'm not sure many would have predicted that.
No, and I think I was one of them. Obviously when the manager got appointed, when a youth team manager comes in, it doesn't normally end quite well. I think we've seen it across Scotland at times where it doesn't always go well, but they've definitely surprised me, and they've got some good experience in that team. They've got some good young players coming through. They've probably got one of the best goalkeepers in the league who's been linked with a lot of big clubs. So they've got something good going on, and it's just seeing whether they can continue it. And I think Motherwell is going to be a real big test, because they went on a good run and then have lost a couple.
And when Mark McNulty goes out for a long period of time because of injury, Nicky Clark not only fills in, but again, his goal at Easter Road last weekend was a delight. So at the moment, they can do no wrong.
Callum Butcher's not been playing either. They're actually, you know, I would definitely agree with Craig, but it's because of the spotlight. We make a big deal when some teams have got players missing. Dundee United are doing this with major players missing, yeah. So testament to them. Craig, how long can this continue?
Well, hopefully as long as it can, but I know it will peter out. But I'll still attempt when I can, and I won't expect to stay bright high, but what I would expect is at least to be in the top six. I don't know if I'm pushing that. Mm-hmm.
How would that have compared to your pre-season hopes, Craig? Have you changed? Are you feeling more ambitious because you've seen what can be achieved?
Definitely. The players he's bringing in, and the younger players he's got on the books that have signed long-term contracts, then it's going to take some money to get in. You understand, we've got to get money coming in and keep the club going during the COVID times. But as it stands, the results and the goals are coming in as a joy. I haven't had that feeling since 2014 when Mark McNamara was in charge. But I'm just, as I said, I'm disappointed last season because of the way they were. The COVID season, I accepted that. This season, I'm not overawed with it, but I'm excited at the fact that we've got players there that can do a turn.
I think as well, Hugh, it would have been I can almost guarantee the narrative, which is a word I know you don't like, so I just keep using it on purpose, in the summer would have been, Dundee United are in deep trouble if they lose Lauren Shankland or Benjamin Segrist. Now, they kept one of them, but they did lose Lauren Shankland, and like we said, it's not had a detrimental effect to the way many people predicted.
And that's why it's disappointing for Craig to say, I know it'll peter out. How do you know it'll peter out?
To be fair, I think even now, would you predict Dundee United to hold on to third place come the end of the season, above Celtic?
But I'd be reluctant to say this will collapse, because at the moment they deserve, like St Johnston earlier on, I said they deserve your respect. Dundee United right now deserve your respect. Dundee United Motherwell tomorrow is part of a great card. Motherwell carry a threat. They will take the game to Dundee United, I have no doubt. Dundee United will in turn take the game back to them. It's one of the standout fixtures. Very interested in the outcome of that game.
Thank you, Craig. It was lovely to speak to you. That was Craig in East Kilbride on 01419511025. Let's try and go to Hampden. Can we speak to Andrew McLean? Not yet. I don't know what's happening with Andrew McLean. I'm sure it's not his fault. There'll be some technological issues. We'll speak to him next. We'll get him after these.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Jack Anik are here. It's 0141 951 1025 on the phones. You can join in on Twitter at Clyde SSB. I'll give you a full time teaser in the near future. Let's speak to Andrew McLean, who is at Hampden ahead of a big night for the Scotland women's national team. Andrew?
Yes, I hear accompanied by Baccarat in the background as well. Pedro Martinez lost his side, looking to continue their 100% record in World Cup qualifying so far. Two wins from two. The first of those was away to tonight's opponent, Hungary, before they fired seven past the Faroe Islands here at Hampden a few weeks ago. It's been a positive start for life under the Spanish boss, and another game at the National Stadium for supporters to look forward to tonight. This is officially the home of the women's national team for this campaign, and if you speak to any of the players, they'll tell you just how special it is for them to be able to play here. Martinez Rosa as well, seeming desperate to excite the supporters and keep them coming back in the early days of his new era. Keeping up with Spain will be the key to progression in this group as well. Just having a look at the team, Caroline Weir, the only player coming in from the win against the Faroe Islands. Lee Alexander and goal in the back four. Rachel McLaughlin, Rachel Fawcett, Jen Beattie and Nicola Doherty. Caroline Weir and Lisa Robertson, the two holding midfielders, with Christy Grimshaw, Erin Cuthbert and Claire Emsley behind Jane Ross, who's the striker at Hampden tonight.
And we wish Andrew McLean all the best. Can't be easy broadcasting from underwater, so it'll be, hopefully he's fit and well to join us again over the weekend.
I thought it was an Apollo 13.
It's not his fault. There'll be some technological issue. But anyway, a big night for Pedro Martinez Losa's side, as Andrew mentioned, now playing competitive home games at Hampden. So hopefully a good crowd there, witnessing a good win, which not only gets 3 points on the board, but just builds up that momentum and belief and gets everyone involved with going along to see the Scotland women's national side. So we wish them well. I'll tell you all about what happens tonight on tomorrow's show. Let's bring in Frank, who's a Rangers fan in the city centre. What's on your mind tonight, Frank?
A couple of points. The first one is VAR.
Oh, okay.
And I personally think you can't trust it. You can't trust it, because quite simply, last night Rangers should have had a stonewall penalty, and why did the fourth official no flag the referee that it was a penalty? Because it was a penalty.
I wonder though, Frank, if some of the terminology here is not helpful. You've said you can't trust it, and we sort of, people keep acting like it's this robot that just gets decisions bang on the way everyone wants to see them. It's just another set of eyes. Now I that's not me saying that it was the right decision, but ultimately, if whoever it was looks at the Joe Rebo thing, the incident, and doesn't think it's a penalty, What else are we supposed to do about that?
Well, I would question the fourth official, because if that wasn't a penalty, I don't know what was. It was a stonewall penalty. Now, I appreciate the referee can't stop the game every 2 minutes, but his fourth official should be saying to him, or he should be contacting, and why did the Rangers players not go to the referee en masse and say to him, look, that was a stonewall penalty, look at it on VAR?
Well, it will have been checked, Jack. That's the thing. It's not that it didn't get checked. I assume they check all, or do they? You know,
you'd hope so.
Yeah.
As Frank says, I think it was a stonewall penalty, and you go back to the point, he says the fourth official then you bring it into Scotland, and then every decision is it going to be, well, why didn't the fourth official? So it is a difficult one. I think VAR does get every decision right because it's on a computer. Not every decision, but it's on a computer and you're looking at the screen. It's hard to get it wrong, but I agree. I don't know why it wasn't given as a penalty, but you would hope to think that it was.
I looked at Liverpool's game, Jack, midweek against Atletico Madrid. And at 3-2, I thought Atletico Madrid had a stonewall case for a penalty.
Yeah.
And it wasn't given. So, you know, at that level of the game, I'm afraid that when you go with VAR, you have to go with it for better or worse. You know, there's no point in saying, I don't care what VAR says, it was offside or it was a penalty. Once you buy up to the scheme, that's you with it.
I mean, Frank, clearly Stephen Gerrard agrees with you. He said it didn't work last night because, you know, it should have been a penalty. It obviously did, however, give the correct decision for Kemar Roofe's goal. Although you feel a sense of injustice, if we're at least getting more decisions right than we previously were, is that not a good thing?
It's helpful. That's what I would say, but it's helpful. But it's no definitive, because quite literally, you've got a fourth official who is earning good money, and he's there to make the decision and assist the referee, and he was found wanting.
Yeah, but this is my point, Frank. Whilst you've got subjective issues, you know, tackles, incident, penalties, how could it ever be definitive? It sounds like you're asking for something that does not exist, and I'm not even necessarily talking about Joe Aribo, because most people think that was a penalty. But ultimately, whether it's a tackle, a red card, a penalty, a pair of human eyes is going to have to look at it and judge it and make a subjective call. So it cannot be, it can't be definitive. The only thing that can be definitive is, well, offside and then the sort of goal line stuff, but it can't be definitive.
That's the point I'm making. It can't be trusted. You can't, because it's a human being that's making a decision. Now, in rugby, if there's a disputable touchdown, then they review it five or six times and say, that's the position there. It's definitely a try, but it's not a try.
No, but that's the point. Someone still just judges that. Someone still makes a judgment call. You know,
I suggest that the guy who was a fourth official needs to go to Specsavers and get glasses, because he's the only person and who's seen that and who has said it wasn't a penalty.
Scottish VAR means if it suits my team and we get the decision, it's a good idea. If it doesn't suit my team, then it's not to be trusted, to use Frank's words.
I feel like right from the start, Jack, the issue has been people, because it's not perfect and it is frustrating and it's got loads of issues with it, but maybe we can all help ourselves get over it by not expecting it to do things that it can't do. This is a subjective game. We love arguing, we love debating, so don't expect this magic system to appear and somehow come up with decisions that everyone's going to agree with. That cannot happen. That is literally impossible.
Yeah, you're not going to get everything right, and at the end of the day, there is still someone looking at that decision, and they've got to make a decision. And whether the referee goes over to the screen, he's still got to make a decision. So it is all very subjective. But if it is going to get more decisions right than wrong, then it will be good for the game.
Right, what did please you last night, Frank? There must have been some good stuff.
A lot of things that pleased me. The performance was the best of the season. Once we get Ryan Jack back, which would be great news, and Ryan Kent, things will start to fall into place again, and it'll be normal service, they'll be winning. But I'm not one to criticise the VAR. What I'm saying is, it gets it wrong. Our officials get it wrong.
Yeah, ours do. It was European officials last night, that is for sure. Frank says it was the Rangers' best performance of the season.
I think he's entitled to come to that conclusion. I think the Rangers fans were looking for a watershed moment. All we've done since the start of the season is debate why are Rangers not doing this, and they did it last season. Where have Morelos' goals gone? They're not defending as they did last season when they were pretty much invincible at the back. And last night, Stephen Gerrard described it as close to perfection. I think there were a few wonky moments at the back in the second half, which for me would take you further away from perfection. However, last night was, as Frank said, the best performance of the season so far. And it's up to Jack's team now on Sunday to see if they can bring Rangers back to earth with a bump.
I think Steven Gerrard did, although he said, you know, the perfection word was mentioned in terms of the response to pressure. He did say there were some moments at the start of the second half, Jack, that he would have preferred didn't happen. Felt like they almost gave Bronby a little bit of belief. Is that something you detected?
Yeah, I think Gerrard was right. It was near perfect. You're never ever going to get a perfect performance. It's just not how football is. And there is going to be nervy moments in the game, and we talk about it a lot. It's just about riding that 10 minutes period of just managing games for 10 minutes, and you might be under the cosh for a little bit. And I thought Rangers done it well enough, and I do agree it was a fully complete performance and close to perfection.
Funny, because although football isn't simple, lots of complex moving parts, there is a simplicity to things that get forgotten about or not spoken about when the result goes your way. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, at the start of the show, it was all about Alfredo Morelos, and he's not taking chances, and he's missed one against Hearts, which has cost Rangers. Steven Gerrard publicly says 5 and 15, that's not good enough. Now, he didn't score last night either, so it's now 5 and 16. That's a lot less important when Kamar Roof sticks the ball in the back of the net, and so does Leon Balogun, and they keep them out at the other end.
Yeah, and it's the same defensively. If you're not keeping clean sheets but you're winning games, it gets overlooked. And Morales will start scoring again. He's a quality player, and I think it's only a matter of time, and he is getting them chances. And I think you look at the best players, that when they're in there and they're getting the chances, I think you're worrying when they're not in there and they're not getting shots on target and having near misses. So I think it's only a matter of time before he does start scoring, just hopefully not starting on Sunday.
Well, he's looking for that 100th goal. And does he start Sunday? There's the question. Yeah, because Steven Gerrard, having said 5 and 15 is not good enough for a number 9 at Rangers with the service he gets, and then taking him off last night, does he start? Or it goes one or two ways for me. Do you send another rocket to his nether regions, or do you leave him out and see what that does for him?
This is the one I definitely won't put to Jack. This is a no-win situation for this guy. He comes on radio on Friday night and says, yeah, you just drop Alfredo Morelos, and then yeah, he scores a hat-trick or something at the weekend. So I won't put you on the spot on that one. Do you think last night, Frank, if that was the best of the season, do you fancy that to be a sort of spark, a catalyst going forward?
Yeah, I do. I think there's too many good players for them no to won the league again. They've got too many good players and a good manager, because Gerrard, he's got high standards, and he wants the best out of his team. Mm-hmm. And you can't ask for any more.
Okay, Frank, thank you. That was a pleasure to speak to you. Right, I do have a full time teaser. I'm not giving you as long as usual. My apologies.
It won't make any difference.
Mark has sent this question in to us tonight, full time at Clyde1.com. 10 non-Rangers or Celtic players to score in cup finals since the 2014-15 final. So basically, since 2015 onwards, can you name 10 non-Rangers or Celtic players to score in cup finals? I think we should let Jack go for some of the more recent ones, because we're being geographically a bit unfair on this guy. He's not been through the trials and tribulations of Scottish football as long as you have.
Oh, I'm having a mind blank.
There'll be some recent ones. Who's a goal scoring hero in cup finals last season?
Sean Rooney.
I was going to say, I can see his face, his hair, everything.
Sean Rooney. Okay, Hugh. It can be all on Hugh, Jack. It doesn't matter. I'm more than comfortable with putting all the pressure on him. Oh. So, any memorable finals that fall within that time frame?
Oh, now. David Gray.
Yes, I mean, he's called Sir David Gray, depending which part of Edinburgh you're in after that one. Yep. Who else might have scored for his team that day? It was Hibs beating Rangers. It could be a long end to the show.
Yeah. The losing side or winning side or both or...
Either. And it's League Cup or Scottish Cup. So, other memorable ones in there. Remember that was a little period where we had, so it's St Johnstone won it. It's thereafter. So who won it the following year? It was another sort of shock winner. You and I were there.
Louis Mould?
No. Unfortunately, Motherwell's two cup finals were goalless on their part.
It was Stevie May?
No. So it's the season after that, after St Johnstone. Oh, it's just Scottish Cup. Sorry, my apologies. It is just Scottish Cup. I've read the question wrong. But okay, we'll get back to it. We'll get back to it. We will get back to it a bit later on. What else have we not covered? Well, why not? Why not Hearts against Dundee, Hugh? Give that a mention, because the Jambos are flying high, still unbeaten, a point off top. No Robbie Nielsen in the dugout tomorrow. He's overstepped the mark and he's going to have to take a seat in the stand.
He's also given us the phrase of the weekend, the Glasgow long blink. Which is his way of saying that referees in Glasgow, when doing games involving Celtic or Rangers against teams like Hearts, tend to see things that others don't, or do not see things that everyone has. So he's treading on dangerous ground again, Robbie Nielsen, because he's already serving a suspension, and that is questioning the fairness of referees to me. Now, tomorrow we have Heart of Midlothian against Dundee from Tayside. Unless the referees are Glaswegian, who do you blame if anything goes wrong now?
Two feisty characters, though, based on this season, James McPake and Robbie Nielsen, maybe for the best that they're kept apart.
They'll be a long way apart, because it's not like the old Tynecastle stand where you could pretty much sit right behind the dugout. They are feisty characters. There is history between the two clubs because of the way that the championship was called, the league title was called, and relegation was called.
The spam folder derby, is that what we tried to christen it last season?
I mean, the explanations about things getting caught in firewalls and all the rest, but I was totally lost for days.
I was going to say, I cannot believe you've even heard of the word firewall.
Well, I read it that often that I had to go and ask one of the grandkids, what's a firewall? So there's previous, there's history there. It will undoubtedly add to the tension on the day. Mm. But Dundee feeling better about themselves now. Hearts the only unbeaten team in the Premiership, so it has the makings of a terrific game. Sorry, James McPake, but I fancy Hearts.
I mean, Jack, when you played Dundee on the opening day of the season, it then would have been hard to imagine them going right through till the weekend there without winning a league game. They seemed that day there was signs, and in a lot of the performances they were kind of in games, but it shows you how easy it is to get in that winless rut. But they've now broken it, beating Aberdeen at the weekend.
Yeah, we drew 2-2 at the start of the season. I've seen some good signs. Obviously, young manager trying to play good football and kind of all-out attack at times, and it was a difficult game. Obviously, you don't know what to expect from teams that come up, and obviously, they've been on a winless run. Good win for them at the weekend. So it might just be that little spark that kickstarts the season for them, and could see them go on a good run.
Yeah, looking forward to that one. Loads of good games tomorrow, so make sure you join us from 2 o'clock. How are you doing with this teaser? 10 non-Rangers or Celtic players to score in Scottish Cup finals since basically the first final on this one's 2016, isn't it? 2016 onwards. You've got David Gray and Sean Rooney.
Did Ryan Edwards score for Hearts?
He did, Ryan Edwards. That is a great shout from you, Hugh Keevans.
Can they have played for Celtic or Rangers? Can go Jason Cummins?
Yes, he's not on the list though. They can, certainly, because one of the ones on David Gray Day played for Celtic, didn't he?
Anthony Stokes.
Yeah. Anthony Stokes. Okay, we'll leave that there. It'll give you some thinking time. We'll get the rest of them, hopefully, next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. St Mirren goalkeeper Jack Anick is still with us. Hugh Keevans here as well. And they're trying to go about this full-time teaser. By the way, it's 11. My apologies. Missed one off the list. So 11 non-Rangers or Celtic players to score in Scottish Cup finals since the 14-15 final. So it's including that one. So you've got Sean Rooney, David Gray, Ryan Edwards, Johnny Hayes, I think. Yep. Or did you tell me Johnny Hayes during during the break? There was another one you got before David, it was Stokes. Sorry, you got Stokes before the break.
David Ginelli for Hearts against Celtic.
Josh Ginelli. I don't know who David Ginelli. Is. His brother. Right, okay.
Josh David Ginelli is the full name.
Any more for any more? You've forgotten about the final. I was trying to send you it till it. You and I were there. If that, that doesn't help the listeners, no. They don't care. They're like, what are you on about? So remember, St Johnstone won it 2014. Who won it 2015? That was when we were on that weird run of smaller clubs winning the Scottish Cup.
Was it Ross County?
No, that was the League Cup, but same time, same era. The other one,
Cali Thistle.
Yes.
John Hughes was the manager.
Yes. Who did they beat?
Falkirk.
Yes. It was 2-1. So you've got three goal scorers from that game. I like the faith that your colleague Stephen Mill has put in you. He just texts me to say they're never getting them. I can forgive Jack. Jack's been, I don't even know where you were playing in.
I was, you were Port Vale. Yeah. I wasn't even in Scotland yet. You didn't even care. I leave this on to Hugh.
It's all on Hugh. There are, right, there's more from the Josh Ginelli game, Hearts against Celtic. Who else scored that? Remember, that was the rescheduled cup final, wasn't it? Played in front of no fans at a strange time of year. Uh-huh. Josh Ginelli got one of them, but Hart scored a couple that day.
Nah, Smith wouldn't have been one.
No. Who's the obvious Hearts one then at the moment? If I was to say Hearts goal scorer,
Liam Boyce.
Yes. The other one's a bit more left field. I must say. Right, I'll leave it with you. I'll give you more clues. I'm definitely going to need to give you more clues come the end. At the end of the show, let's hear a bit more from Steven Gerrard, because this is quite a topical one, an interesting one. He says he's neither concerned nor confident about Conor Goldson extending his stay with a new deal. He says he would love for the defender to sign that contract, but here's the latest update.
I'm not concerned. I'm not confident. I'm not really overthinking about it. You know, Conor's a big boy. He's a man. Ross Wilson's office is next to mine. Conor knows what I think of him from a personal point of view and how much I want him to stay here. At the same time, we have to concentrate on the football, so it's important Conor keeps playing the way he is. I thought he was magnificent again last night. He was my player of the year last year, and I think for me, he's got more consistency as his time's gone on at Rangers. He's a really valuable player for me and us and the club. So hopefully we can find a solution in terms of getting him tied up. I can't really go any further in terms of letting you know how much I want it to happen and how much I want him to stay. But at the end of the day, I'm not Conor, so I don't know what he wants. And I'm not the club, and I don't do the bank balances and the numbers. So for me, I can only tell both parties how much I want this to happen.
What do you make of the way that one's playing out, Craig, on the line, who's a Rangers fan?
Hi, Gordon. Hi, panel. Hi. I think it's one that we obviously need to get sorted as quick as we can. You know, Conor Goldson himself said during the week in a press conference that he wants to stay at Rangers. He said he doesn't want to be remembered just for winning 55, so he's hungry for more success with us. And I think, you know, the thing is as well that if he was to leave, if we're being honest here, he's not going to go to a club that will give him another opportunity in his career to potentially play Champions League football. Because if he leaves, it will either be possibly bottom half Premier League side or a Championship side, which I'm not knocking. I'm just stating that, you know, if you want a shot at that Champions League, that he's not going to get that elsewhere. But he knows that, and I think what might happen, because the longer the months go, clubs will come in and look at him. So if an offer was to come to him or his agent from a club for X amount of wages, he can maybe then go to Ross Wilson and go, look, if he's not happy with the offer so far, and go, look, this is what they're offering me. I'm not saying you need to offer me that amount, but I would like you to offer me a bit more, because clearly I'm worth a bit more. So that's the thing. But I think it's important, because the amount it will cost us to replace him if he goes is going to be more than it will cost us to give him an extra few grand a week in his wages, I would suspect. So I hope Ross Wilson gets and get together and sort it soon.
Yeah, Hugh, I mean, you have to do a bit of reading between the lines on these things. Steven Gerrard was quite clear there about how much he likes the player, so you assume he wants him to stay. So, and the extended version of that answer was, you know, basically a bit of both. Either the club need to offer him more money, or Conor Goldson needs to reduce what he's asking for and try and meet in the middle? I don't know.
It's a multifaceted story. You know, when you hear the manager saying, I don't know where this lies, Ross Wilson's office is next to mine. You know, fans get frustrated and say, well, you're the manager, why don't you knock on his door and say, what does this guy want to stay here? Come on, what's happening with this? On the other hand, you've got Conor Goldson saying, no, I have no idea where it stands. I leave it all to my agent. And again, I can understand fans' frustration thinking to themselves, why are you allowing this man, whoever he is, to sort out your life and you're not in regular contact with him to find out? The bottom line, you know, Craig speaks about the bottom half of the English Premier League or the Championship. Either one will pay more money than Rangers pay him. So
that's not a guarantee, is it?
Well, I think the money's sloshing around in England.
Oh no, of course, overall, of course, you know, but that depends
where he goes.
Yeah, there would be some. There will be the likes of Kamara, for example, and others will be on a wage that can compete at the top end of the English Championship. Yeah,
but it's Conor Goldson. We don't know because nobody appears to know where this stands.
Well, Jack, this is where Hugh and I don't really know what we're talking about because we've never had contract negotiations. Do players just leave it to their agent and focus on the job in hand?
Sometimes if a player really is adamant about concentrating on football and wants to leave that, but then also if Conor Goldson came out and said, listen, I want to move back down south in the summer, I want to move back down towards Brighton, want to get closer to my family, whatever, then all of a sudden you're in a position where it comes out that Conor Goldson wants to leave. So he can't put himself in that position. So I think the way that the club and Conor Goldson's handling it is pretty decent, and I think there will come a conclusion, and they might have already come to a conclusion. But
he's not up to the mighty Brighton's level. I mean, let's be honest. I mean,
that's Hugh's English team. In case you hadn't noticed, doing well, has to be said. The grandkids happy.
Oh, hey, top four. We Billy Reid. Assistant manager of the year.
You're going to need to pay for the grandkids to go on Champions League trips next season though, so you'll be hoping they drop a little bit, surely.
Well,
don't want the bank balance taking that hit.
And you're quite right there.
Eighth. Settle for eighth, yeah.
Mid-table.
That's good, yeah, exactly. Craig, what about last night and going forward?
Yeah, well, listen, I think last night was probably the most well-rounded performance we've had all season. We've had spots of, you know, halves where we've played well, or 60, 70 minutes where we've played well. Last night, I felt we were fairly consistent throughout the game. You know, we probably should have had more than two goals. I think, as it's been touched on already, but I think we've definitely seen both sides of VAR and what we might have to look forward to if it comes up here last night, because it went for the brilliant to the baffling. Because obviously, fair play to them. I don't think anybody, I certainly didn't think Keane Marwoof was onside, and then when you see it back, actually get it correct, but then somehow they miss a stonewall penalty, which they get the same amounts of views of as anybody else. So yeah, there is that, but overall, you know, performance wise even at moments where we stepped off a little bit, I felt we managed the game pretty well. Brondby, in my opinion, didn't cause us too many troubles defensively. We're able to comfortably enough deal with things, and I think going forward we kind of need to do that. Morelos, for the love of God, needs to score.
Craig, we're going to have to leave it there. I didn't even realise we were so close to the end of the show, but thanks for taking the time. It was interesting to get your thoughts on Conor Goldson, and will Morelos score against Jack Anik on Sunday? Well, we will find out. We'll speak to Craig soon. Right, quick, four more on the teaser. What you got for me?
Peter Grant Jr.
at Falkirk, yes. And in the same game then, who scored for Inverness?
Marley Watkins.
Uh-huh. And
James Vincent.
He got the winner. Well done, which means you've got one to go. I'll give you a big clue. It was for Hearts against Celtic. He's still at Hearts. He still plays. He's not a known goal scorer as such, but he does take set pieces. He sometimes scores from them. Well, I don't think this was one.
Gary Mackay Stevens.
No. I'll put you out your misery. He's a left back.
Initials?
Oh. SK.
Oh, Stephen Kingsley.
Stephen Kingsley. Thank you, Hugh Keevans. Thank you, Jack Anik. If you have a good game on Sunday, we'll take part of the credit. If you have a stinker, it's nothing to do with us and it's all you. But thank you for joining us, Hugh. We'll speak to you tomorrow. Good. And we'd hope you will all join us at 2 o'clock. A huge weekend of football coming up, and GBX up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Call Robert Wheels.
your diamond cut alloy wheel refurb specialist.